At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Want to win money on sports? With Underdog, you can up to 1,000 times your cash just by picking higher or lower on your favorite player stats. Millions of fans have won billions of dollars on Underdog. Will you be next? Download the Underdog app and sign up to get a free pick with your first cash entry up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you deposit. Must be 18 plus, 19 plus in Alabama, Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope Line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
You're listening to Mile High Insiders with Nick Kendall and Luke Patterson. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Now, it's time to find out what's going on behind the walls of UC Health Training Center.
Man, the time is just flying by. We're halfway through the season already, Tom. Yeah. When you're looking at it, the regular season, we're past the midway point, if you will, and all of a sudden, just like that, it's Chiefs week.
Yep, and I'm excited for it. Actually, I hope that they can do some damage in Kansas City. The Broncos need it back. Boom. So do the fans.
Yeah, speaking of damage, we got to get into what the hell was that last week in Baltimore. Yours truly took the big fat L, Tom. I know you had picked the Broncos to lose that game, but we got to get into some Ravens leftovers. We've got to preview the Chiefs. We've got to talk about the news of the day. You've got some players coming off of IR, right? That's always good here in Denver. But man, here we are, Wednesday, November 6th. Something about the NFL trade line is come and gone. We're halfway through the regular season. Something big and crazy happened yesterday. Here we are. It's Chiefs week, week 10, as the Denver Broncos are going to Arrowhead. And Tom, I get that the streak was beat last year, right? That Sean Payton, Russell Wilson, and Justin Simmons, those three guys all by themselves, right? Beat the Chiefs 24-9 in Denver last year. They officially snapped the 16-game road skid against the Chiefs. But it doesn't make me feel any better knowing that the Broncos are going into Kansas City. Why, you might ask? Well, as you know, Tom, Scott, Broncos country, it's been since 2015, almost 10 years since the Denver Broncos went into Kansas City and got the dub. Tom, how are we feeling on this Chiefs week?
Yes, it's interesting. I think the Broncos have played the Chiefs fairly close the last couple of years in Kansas City. It seems like they seem to get up for that game. So I don't know. I mean, anything can happen. I feel like the Chiefs have gotten away with some victories that they probably shouldn't have. So I don't know. Anything goes from my perspective. The Broncos, hopefully they're up for the task, and hopefully the embarrassment last week has got them focused.
So every once in a while, I like to say I'm a betting man, but I'm a low betting man. I mean, my bets would make you laugh. And just ask Scott. He's seen them. I mean, $5 here, $2, you know, big spender kind of a thing. Well, I had some money on the game last week, Monday Night Football, Chiefs v. Bucks, and I did pick the Chiefs to win the money line, right? But Baker's been throwing all over the field, 200 yards, no matter who the receivers are at. I was sitting right at 199, Tom, 199, and Baker finally got me over to 200, so I didn't care that the Bucks were going to lose. But we all knew what was going to happen. What's the point? We all knew what was going to happen when the Chiefs got to overtime. The look from Baker Mayfield at the coin toss said it all, Tom. Like, well, I'm never going to see the ball again. You can't play a close matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think that's what you're hoping for if you're a Denver Broncos fan this week. And I get it. The Chiefs don't necessarily look the same in years past, but they're 8-0. Okay. They're the best team in the NFL. They have the best coach in the NFL right now, the best quarterback. who may be hobbled. We'll talk about that. But I remember writing last week, one of my keys to victory, saying that the Broncos need to bang up a Lamar Jackson who was already injury riddled, if you will. Well, Lamar didn't need to run because King Henry did that all for him. And the Broncos hardly got any hits on Lamar Jackson. And now you're facing a Kansas City Chiefs offense who's just starting to click with some guy named DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think the Ravens our offense is better right now than the Chiefs are. But like you said, the Chiefs are they tend to play better towards the end as the season goes along. You know, and of course, you know, they got a good quarterback and a good offensive minded coach. So anything goes. But I mean, it was kind of an embarrassment in Baltimore, to say the least. So I don't think the Broncos defense is going to kind of roll over like they did in Baltimore when they faced the Chiefs. I think they're going to be more up for it. I think they're going to have a better game plan, and hopefully they don't get embarrassed.
Very uncharacteristic. And then like I don't know about you, Tom, but I immediately wanted to fall back on old habits. What are those old habits? I wanted to fall back on yelling at Vance Joseph, right? Like, damn you, Vance Joseph. But he really has turned this unit around. I mean, so much so. What did we miss? Baron Browning got traded away, right, to the Arizona Cardinals. But his Ohio State teammate, former Bronco teammate, Jonathan Cooper, got a big fat deal. So you can't necessarily blame Vance Joseph entirely. The offense played atrocious. Sean Payton has his fingerprints all over that Baltimore loss as well. But it definitely bothered me, Tom, because it made me think, well, okay, are we just going to be subject to one blowout per year? Granted, this wasn't the 70-80 burger that the Dolphins put on them two seasons ago, really. But, you know, I digress. David Yonkin coming in, a $4.99 YouTube. Thank you for kicking us off before the show even started. Dave, Thomas, I hope that the new crib is coming along. Please answer me this. Why is A.T. Perry and tight end Donald Parham not playing? Tom, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, everybody seems to be really high on A.T. Perry, you know, but I'm not really sure why. He's kind of been cast off from the team that got him to begin with, and maybe he's just not ready. Maybe he's got the tools, the raw talent, maybe for down the road as he develops, but he just seems like he's not ready to go out there and to play, or he probably would be or would have been from the team that liked him to begin with. Parham is the one for me that's a little bit of a head scratcher, but he's been in the league a while. We've seen him play. He's not a huge difference maker, but at the same time, he probably can offer something a little bit more than what we've seen from some of the other tight ends that the Broncos have been playing so far and suiting up. So Parham to me is one that is a bit of a head scratcher, but I can see why A.T. Perry's just, you know, sitting on the bench on the practice squad waiting for his turn and trying to develop.
Chilling. David, I appreciate the super. I know Tom and Scott does as well. Thank you for weighing in. Here's the thing, and I see where Dave's going. Dave's looking for a spark because he's like, all right, the trade deadline's come and gone, and the Broncos, you know, they were sellers. They didn't necessarily buy anybody. You're still dealing with the same sort of players that you have offensively. And the fact of the matter is, Bo Nix has been doing it by himself for a long time. This entire season, really, on offense, since game one in Seattle, it's all been on him. And I get it. That's the position. But Dave's out here trying to look for answers. And I'll be honest with you, Dave, I forgot A.T. Perry existed. No disrespect, but a sixth-round practice squad guy that was signed, what, less than a month ago, October 8th in 2024? Yeah, I mean, if you're making plays on the practice squad, maybe you're going to see some time. I don't know. You also need to have some misfortune, if you will. What do I mean by that? Lil Jordan Humphrey, what have you been doing the last couple of weeks? I just don't understand it. Tons of missed assignments. We start the game with a bobbled catch and an interception. Hell, that's the way we want to start Baltimore, right? I mean, I don't know. If you want to try to get some of those guys demoted and bring some other guys up, I guess. In terms of Donald Parham, I don't understand this at all, Tom. You brought it up. I would love to see this guy play more. Why? Because he's a tall veteran receiver, and I think he could be a red zone threat. That's what the Chargers used him for almost exclusively this last season. Your leading tight end is Adam Trautman with seven catches, off 11 targets for 121 yards and one tutty. The tight end position is coming around. It used to be non-existent the first five, 6 weeks of football. And then all of a sudden the Broncos and Sean Payton are like, hey, maybe we should use the tight ends. They're just not using them as effectively as they should. So while they are being used now, Tom, I don't understand this reluctancy to use the tight end position. It's either a personnel problem or Sean Payton doesn't know how to scheme up the tight end position anymore. Dare I say that? A guy who wanted Sean here. And again, I go through it every week. We go through all the greatest of tight ends of all time, right? That Sean Payton has gone through. I get it. Greg Dulcich is a bust. We wrote him off in week two, week three. I don't get it, Tom. Why can't the Broncos use the tight end position?
Yeah, it's a mystery. I don't know, you know, and it's funny that you bring that up. Like, why not take a look at some of these young guys? From my perspective, the Broncos are not real contenders. We saw last week, they're not serious contenders for a Super Bowl, but they are definitely contenders to sneak into the playoffs. So I think maybe he's kind of walking this fine line of trying to keep them in the playoffs, but not really buyers at the deadline because they're not quite over the hump. So I don't know. I mean, it's a weird thing to me why Parham's not out there and why the tight ends that they have are just, I mean, they're not getting targets and they're not really doing much when they do get targets. So it's
no,
there's a lot of combinations, I think, going on.
No, and my favorite thing ever is out there on social media, right? Where you're like, well, let's just trade all the trash away that we don't want and someone else will want it. That's not usually how it works in the league. So even though we're done with Greg Dulcich, I don't think teams were calling. Otherwise, he would have been moved. David weighing in with $2 over on YouTube. Thanks for weighing in, Dave. Good evening, Broncos country. #10-7. Man, let's go, Bo. 10-7 heading into Chiefs week. This is the second of two road games back to back, right? In Baltimore, now Kansas City, and the Chiefs, man, I get it. They don't necessarily look like the juggernaut that they've been in years past, but they look pretty good the other night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who the Denver Broncos beat. Now, usually there's a little bit of reasoning and logic, right? Say, oh, well, if Denver beat Tampa and Tampa took Kansas City to overtime and man, it was a 30-24 game, perhaps there's a shot. Maybe it's close. And you bet. I love the NFL. It's the league of parity. It's why I think it's the number one sport in the world, if I'm being honest, but that's just my opinion. Any team can be beat. Man, I'm so disappointed with what happened in Baltimore that I am worried about Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, it was embarrassing. I thought it would be a closer game. I thought their defense would step up a little bit more. But as we saw, the defense has played well, but they've not faced an offense like that. And it just, you know, they couldn't hang. And that's why I said they're not a serious contender. They no. still make the playoffs. I mean, I think they get four wins.
Oh, man, that's going to be tough, man. And here's why I'm so disappointed, because we're talking about Baltimore, Baltimore, Baltimore. Michael Ronquillo over on Facebook. What's up, Mike? Thank you so much. Good evening, Luke and Thomas on the Mile High Insiders. Go, Bo Broncos out there in AZ. And here's our guy, Lawrence. Tea time with Larry Rivera coming in here. What's up, Luke and Rogers? Thomas is getting that Christmas beard going. What's up, A.A. Ron?
Did you know you can save money with the McDonald's app every single day? Yeah, I was surprised too. Deals every day right at your fingertips. I love a good deal, but the McDonald's app takes gaming the system to a whole new level. Just the other day, I treated myself to a 10-piece chicken nugget for only $1. Yeah, you heard that right. Just $1. All you have to do is order in the app. And get this. You can grab that deal once a week through December 2nd. The first time I discovered the deals in the app, I was honestly shook. I had to tell my whole group chat about it, and now we're always comparing who got the best app deal of the week. Plus, ordering ahead, total game changer, especially when I need a quick lunch or a treat after a long day. So why wait? Save money every day with the McDonald's app. Download it, get those deals, and treat yourself. You deserve it. Valid through December 2nd, 2024 at participating McDonald's. Offer valid one time per week. Excludes delivery. You must opt into rewards. So go check out McDonald's deals.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CareCare is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, thanks, Ann. I've actually just haven't had time to trim it, but it's coming in good. Most of it was for my the hair and everything's for my Halloween costume. So
we've been waiting for months now. Can you flash the picture to me, maybe on social media at Thomas Hall?
I'll just flash it up here again real quick.
Yeah, well,
everybody wants to know.
Yeah, and for our listeners listening, maybe we'll get it at social media at Thomas Hall NFL. Look at that. Thomas Hall has Qui-Gon Jinn, a year in the making, growing out those beautiful, dirty blonde locks, Tom. I love it, man.
Yeah. Now, I'll probably cut it off eventually, but it's long enough now. I'll probably wait a little bit to donate it, and we'll see. I don't know. it's the first time I've ever had my hair this long ever. So
yeah, no, I love it, Lawrence. That's a funny observation. And yeah, man, I'm sitting here in the Mile High City today. 12 inches of snow outside of my house. So yeah, it's officially beard weather, right? Be out there shoveling and getting icicles all over your beard. And yeah, I don't know what the weather's going to look like in Kansas City on Sunday, but that's another element we're going to start seeing with the Denver Broncos. I know the Broncos practiced inside today. Weather starts to become a thing, Tom, here in November. I know it was a rainy game in Kansas City last week against the Buccaneers, and at times you did see the ball and surface conditions rear their ugly head. But let's go through the practice report today for the Denver Broncos, as we had some Broncos returning from IR, Tom. Returning to practice from injured reserve stints, would that be safety P.J. Locke, outside linebacker Drew Sanders, center Luke Wattenberg. However, wide receiver Josh Reynolds, who was eligible to return from IR, did not. So Broncos going to get some players back. I was surprised how quick they threw Baron Browning and Mike McGlinchey into Thursday Night Football against the Saints. Tom, when you're looking at the practice report and you're starting to hear that guys are coming back, do you expect a P.J. Locke, who was a full practice today with that thumb injury, to just immediately be in the game, a Delarian Turner yell, a second straight week where he's returning? What do you make of the practice report of the IRs?
Yeah, I think P.J. Locke will be back out there. I think he's got the best chance for the defense, for him to be out there. I think they're lacking when he's not in there. Not that he's a superstar or anything, but he is the better player. So I think they'll throw him out there even if he's got to wear a cast on his hand. So he'll be back out there. The injury reports looks great. I mean, some people coming back. If you look at their actual injury report, there's only three players on injured reserve that are not coming back. That's pretty dang good for being in the middle of the season for a team that used to get, have that list filled out pretty fully by this time. So I'm pretty happy with the injury report so far.
Yeah, I'm happy with it too. And you talk about P.J. Locke coming back into the game, and you need him, right? Because you're seeing a defensive secondary that got shredded in Baltimore. I mean, so many times I felt like in nickel and dime packages, Devon Key, whatever the hell his name is. I mean, man, we are so out of place. Vance Joseph, you cannot be putting Jonah Ellis in pass coverage. I never in my life want to see D.J. Jones drop back into some sort of a zone ever again. These are mistakes that Vance made when he was head coach of the Broncos, not second stint defensive coordinator. I don't like seeing that. The nickel and dime scenarios were absolutely horrible. Riley Moss did not have a very good game. I thought he got humbled, and that's going to happen when you're running backwards against Zay Flowers. But the Broncos didn't have a ton of answers. Lawrence circling back around. Thanks, man, over on YouTube. First moment of truth game. How do we handle it? How do the Broncos handle it? That's a good question, Lawrence. I wonder what Sean Payton's message is to his Denver Broncos squad, who only saw one player depart ahead of the trade deadline in Baron Browning. And I don't mean this is any disrespect, but I think the Broncos can live without Baron Browning, Tom. I don't think that he was necessarily a locker room personality that you absolutely had to have. You sort of dealt that chip and doubled down by keeping Jonathan Cooper. You've been on it all season. Nick Benito's been playing quite well. Zach Allen just got game planned against, and other teams are going to be looking to do the same thing. They doubled and triple teamed big man so much, Zach Allen didn't even make it onto the stat sheet. I was absolutely shocked when I'm writing about that in my takeaways. I had to go back and watch film, and yeah, it double teamed, triple teamed. The Ravens offensive line did a number on big number 99, who you can argue, Tom, he's been the heartbeat of this team, of this defense thus far, Zach Allen.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Nobody else really stepped up. So, you know, when you got someone getting double and triple teams, someone else has got to be getting to the quarterback, and it really wasn't happening. But at the same time, I mean, if he wants to be an elite player, he's going to have to fight through those double teams and still make some noise. Can't do it every time, but, you know, if you're going to make that next step into elite status, you're going to have to be able to do some of those things. You can't just be like, oh, I was double teamed, so, you know, sorry. You got to make some noise in there. But, yeah, I imagine they're going to keep doing that until the rest of the group can figure out how they're going to step up when he's the one that's the attention is being focused on.
Stepping up. That's the name of the game for the Denver freaking Broncos offense. When your starting rookie quarterback is out there catching touchdowns now, give me a break. Cortland Sutton, nice toss. But your only touchdown of the game is your cute little Philly special play, which should have failed, by the way. Cortland Sutton should have either thrown a pick or been sacked. A very impressive throw from Cortland Sutton. A more impressive catch by Bo Nix, who goes up, proves to be an athlete. I absolutely love it. He's drawing all kinds of attention right now, Tom, Bo Nix from the NFL. And I think if the Broncos win that game, you would see a lot more highlight reel of Bo Nix, but when you get blown out 41-10, SportsCenter's not exactly going to show your quarterback touchdown catch. Michael Ronquillo coming in here with a really good question, Mike. I like this a lot. It's something we've been wondering about here on MHI. We asked Cecil about it a few weeks back. Right tackle, center, the O-line, here we go. Would you keep center Alex Forsythe or move back to center Luke Wattenberg? Luke Wattenberg, who started the season is the starting center, right? Went to IR with an ankle injury. He returned to practice, was limited today. For me, Mike, I'm going with Bo. What's Bo want? How does Bo feel? I'm serious. I know that's kind of silly to think that, are we just going to let the rookie start making decisions for the organization? I don't go that far, but is there synergy? How are the snaps getting off? What are the calls like? What does Quinn Miners think? What's Ben Powers think? Tom, you know as well as anybody, synergy in that offensive line, it's huge. And the O-line and D-line goes, the rest of the team goes the same direction based on those big guys. What would you do? Would you bench Alex Forsythe because Luke Wattenberg's starting to get healthy? Or do you keep Bo Nix's college teammate, at least one of them, in there for another week?
Well, like they always say, you don't lose your job to injury. Sometimes it happens. If Alex Forsythe was playing extremely well, then maybe you bump Wattenberg. I just don't see it happening. I think he steps back in when he's fully healthy. He's the starting center, and they're going to move forward with that. Unless for some reason, Forsythe plays another game, starts, and it's just an outstanding game, then maybe. But I don't see it. It hasn't been that big of a difference to me.
No, it's good. I hear you. They almost look similar, right? Because I think we're looking for more, at least I am, in a center. I'm not displeased with what I'm seeing, but I'm not over the moon either. I think Alex Forsythe is a little awkward in some of his movements, if I'm being honest, but I've thought that since college. Him and Bo haven't had any failed exchanges, and if memory serves, I can't remember if it was only in preseason or if there were a couple times in the Tampa game, maybe the Pittsburgh game, where there were some bobbled exchanges with Luke Wattenberg. Ultimately, I think Alex Forsythe will get the nod. Cody W coming in. What's up, Cody? It's been a minute over on YouTube. I'll say it now. If they don't get a true number one wide receiver to help Bo Nix this offseason, that's on Sean Payton. Sutton is a number two. Bring in a veteran that can show some guidance. Tom, how disappointed are you that the Broncos didn't make a move for another offensive weapon for Bo Nix? Was there a guy that maybe you were looking at? I know it's something we've been talking about this last month. The Broncos have kicked around at least the idea in Broncos country. We've kicked around the idea of a David Njoku, a tight end, something like that. You see other teams make wide receiver moves, right? With Devontae going to New York, with Amari Cooper going to Buffalo, so on and so forth. Are you heartbroken that the Broncos just didn't get a playmaker for Bo?
No, because after the Ravens game, I was like, this team's not not a true contender. So don't get rid of all your draft picks to try and pick up one guy that, you know, who is available. I mean, that's the thing. Like, who was out there that was available that was going to be the difference maker? So at the deadline, who was available? There wasn't that much. You're going to get rid of a couple draft picks to try and bring somebody in. That's not going to get you over the hump. So I wasn't too displeased with them, you know, kind of standing pat. I would have rather seen them go after a tight end, which there were some of the tight ends that are available that you could have got with a pick that you didn't care about, but they chose not to. So, I mean, I can understand why they're letting this young team kind of develop and seeing where they're at, knowing that they're not true contenders this year, hopefully next year. But yes, Cody, you're right, 100%. If they don't go out and get some playmakers, which I thought Marvin Mims, I've been calling for Marvin Mims to be that guy, and he's just not doing it.
Hope.
So, you know, you can't rely on that anymore. But yes, you've got to go out and get somebody who's a true elite playmaker to help that offense.
Let me play devil's advocate here with you guys for just a minute and try to give an interesting take. Wrote an article last week. Nick Kendall wrote an article a few days ago as well. Same principle, different sources, where we were hearing reports that Cortland Sutton may be shopped, right? And my article pissed KOA guy off and he got all mad and it took everything in me, Tom, to not bury him on this show or in print. But right, you roll with pigs, you get dirty. So I left it alone. What about disappointment with the Broncos not moving on from some players? They moved on from a Baron Browning. You extend Jonathan Cooper. That makes sense. What's the future for Cortland Sutton and the Denver Broncos? How about Garrett Bowles? What's the future there? I mean, could you have potentially gotten some draft capital, maybe try to move up the boards, try to find an offensive playmaker? I don't know. Here's the fact of the matter. Cortland Sutton's the leading receiver on the team with 499 yards and 2 touchdowns. The second leading receiver, it's Javonte Williams, Tom. I mean, this is unacceptable. Lil Jordan Humphrey sitting in there at third. Josh Reynolds, he's getting shot here in Denver, Colorado. I'm glad he's okay, but good Lord, that's not exactly what we signed up for. Devon Bailey, undrafted rookie, you know what you're going to get there. Troy Franklin, okay, we sparked heavily, led the game on Thursday Night Football in the Saints, but then since then we've just decided to not utilize him. Bo Nix, I get it, you're a rookie, you're developing. Some of these throws, overthrows were the name of the game in Baltimore as well. I see where Cody's going, and he's like, look, who do the Broncos have that Bo Nix can lean on? And it gets tougher and tougher each game. You've got the running backs, Javonte Williams and Audric Estime, with 4 fumbles between them. I just don't get it, Tom. So I can see Cody's frustration and his level of concern as the Broncos are rolling into Kansas City. And why does it always feel like, at least for me, it's Bo Nix in the offensive line out there without any skilled players? That it just feels horrible.
Well, I mean, when Bo Nix is your second touchdown leading receiver and he's the quarterback, that tells you something. I mean, that's pretty sad. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, they need to go get a playmaker, but the problem was I didn't see who they were going to go get, right, as a wide receiver. Yeah. I saw tight ends, but as a wide receiver out there,
a lot of people said T. Higgins. I wasn't in on that. How about you? Were you a T. Higgins? What would you have given up for like a T. Higgins?
I don't think they should give up anything sizable. I think they were looking for somebody that could come in, you know, fourth, fifth round pick to give up. I don't think there was anybody out there that was willing to take that, because they've got a young team. They should go to the draft and see if they can find somebody. Don't try and bring in, you know, I mean, T. Higgins is a good player. Don't get me wrong, but he's not that elite player that's going to put you over the top in, you know, this year. So
that's what Free Earth Citizen's saying. Look, Sutton's a good number two, but we have not had a number one since DT. And Free Earth, speaking of DT, Chad's got an article up right now at milehighhuddle.com. Cortland Sutton could join Demaryius Thomas in Broncos history books. Read that article over at milehighhuddle.com. That could happen this Sunday. Speaking of milehighhuddle.com, yours truly have an article that just dropped as the show started. Chiefs cornerback Trent McDuffie sounded off on Broncos rookie quarterback Bo Nix. Go check out what the 2023 All-Pro corner had to say about your Broncos rookie QB. Cody, circling back around, Sutton doesn't know a winning culture. Yeah, I mean, he's part of that, right? You're a team captain. This is your fourth year as a team captain. And I think Cortland had a great season last year, Tom. I know you would agree with that as well. There's something to playing with a rookie quarterback, and there's something to playing in Sean Payton's system. Is Sean still overcomplicating the offense, Tom? Is that why we're not seeing Bo and Cortland just feasting? Because I thought after Cortland Sutton's career game 2 weeks ago, or season-leading game 2 weeks ago, that we would be force-feeding 14 the ball. Yeah. It just doesn't seem that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, number one, you have a rookie quarterback. So, I mean, I know everybody wants it to be this, him just slinging it everywhere and being great, but he's a rookie and he's still learning. It's going to take time. So that's one part of it. Even though it does seem like he's trying to do, he is doing most of the work himself. You have to remember, he's still a rookie learning the system, learning how to play in the NFL. It's not easy. I don't know what's up with Cortland Sutton. And I've said that before, Cody, that, you know, they're purging a lot of these players that only knew losing. Sutton was one that pretty much only knew that. You know, Garrett Bowles is another. But you can't get rid of everybody all at once.
Why not?
Well, you got to field the team.
Why the hell not? I would rather have Justin Simmons here than – and I'm being a little facetious, right? But, like, I would rather have a Justin Simmons here right now than Cortland Sutton. Why? Because Justin helped the Broncos beat the Chiefs. How about that? Let's start there. I could point to games where I know Justin has helped win those games. When I look at Cortland, I could do it last season, but I can't do a lot this season, and that's tough. And Lawrence coming in, Cortland Sutton shipped for Hunter. Hunter, which Hunter?
Henry.
Yeah.
Hunter Henry, maybe.
Okay. Scott reminds me, you know, like when you're looking at the contract and Cortland's restructure that added 3 voided years, 20 million dead cap hit in 2025, makes it that forecast a little bit clearer that he's going to be around next year as a Bronco. I don't get it. I can live with Cortland Sutton, but I just don't see this dominant Justin Jefferson, this Jamar Chase, a Devontae Adams. Like, I just don't see this guy that commands a true number one corner every single week. I'm wondering, for the Broncos defense, how are you going to cover a DeAndre Hopkins and a Travis Kelce this week, right? Because Pat Surtain has done very well against Travis Kelce traditionally, and Pat Surtain's done well against the Chiefs traditionally as well. But man, you look at the Broncos offense, and I just got done writing about Trent McDuffie, right? Chiefs cornerback, and there aren't a lot of offensive threats there when you start looking at game planning for the Broncos. And that's what Trent said essentially in my piece. Trent McDuffie isn't worried about the Broncos passing attack. He's worried about Bo Nix burning him a la Lamar Jackson as a dual threat quarterback. And that's a good way to get your QB beat up and injured, especially in week 10 on the road in the cold, Tom.
Yeah, you said it. Actually, what I've been saying all season, there's not a single offensive player that scares defensive coordinators on the Broncos team. There just isn't. And Bo Nix, I mean, a rookie who can do stuff with his legs and has been pretty productive, still isn't scaring anybody. So that's the problem. They need to go out and get somebody that can really help this team from a skill player's perspective. But, and maybe Estime getting in there, maybe he's going to create a spark in the running game. I don't know what it is, but they do need to get something going. Now, yeah, I don't think Kansas City is afraid of the Broncos at all, especially on the offense. So, you know, maybe that's going to work in the Broncos' favor, where the Chiefs are just kind of riding them off and the Broncos surprise them. I don't know, but he's right. No one's scary.
No, well, and you talk about Audric Estime, and I know there's a lot going on right now with Audric Estime. We've got some pieces over at MahaHuddle.com. I think Nick Kendall's got one up right now. 15 rushes and 2 fumbles.
With big wireless providers, what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. Have you ever looked at your cell phone bill? The fees, the charges, you don't even understand half of it, more than half of it. It's ridiculous what they tack onto your bill. There's none of that with Mint Mobile. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overcharges. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for just $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/SI Media. That's mintmobile.com/SI Media. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/SI Media. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for more details.
That's how we want to start our careers, the Denver Bronco. Like, come on, man. Really? And Javonte Williams is a bipolar running back. I mean, what can I say? 1 week he's on, the next week he's off. I just don't get it. And yeah, I think play calling has a lot to do with that as well. But when you look at the Ravens, man, I'm so sick of Bo Nix either being the leading rusher or 5 yards away. 12 carries for Javonte Williams for 42 yards. I just don't get it. And the Broncos offensive line, they need to definitely shoulder the load in that as well. The point of attack from both the O-line and the D-line were horrendous. It's the worst I've seen all season. I think they would be the first to tell you that as well. But there's no weapons, and it makes me very nervous. Phil McLaughlin weighing in. Good evening, Thomas, Luke, and Scott. Sutton and Bowles are not going anywhere right now. They're still solid enough to get us to the playoffs. You let both go, or even one, in my opinion, you're saying your season is over. Hashtag Buckham, MHH for life. That's a good point, Phil. While I disagree that you have to keep both, you definitely wave the white flag and potentially lose the locker room in trading one or both of those guys.
Yeah. And let's, again, I'm going to say it one more time. They only have to win four more to get to the playoffs, most likely. That's it. Four more out of these last eight games. If they win one, if they win against the Bengals and the Colts and two other games, I say it's guaranteed that they get in the playoffs. So Phil's right. You don't shop them when you're in that sort of situation. You don't get rid of two starters to say, yeah, I know we were in the playoff hunt, but we're just going to tank the rest of the season. So absolutely right, Phil. Although I do believe that Sean Payton wants to still try and get rid of the old guard, and Bowles and Sutton are both. I mean, Sutton's going to be around, but Bowles is probably not on this team next year. He's probably gone in free agency.
Cody asking, how do you get Sutton open more? You bring in a number one. I mean, yeah, but the trade deadline's done, Cody. So coulda, woulda, shoulda, brother. I hear you, but it's like it's stepbrother. What's done is done, Dad. I mean, it's over. The trade deadline came and went. Sean Payton feels comfortable with his wide receivers, and those players that we're used to seeing they're not getting it done. I hear you, man. Cortland Sutton, Lil Jordan Humphrey, Josh Reynolds, Devon Bailey, Troy Franklin. I mean, not a lot there. You utter the word Marvin Mims and you get met with eye rolls and who, you know, like Jaleel McLaughlin. We're not doing anything really. Javonte Williams, second leading receiver. I mean, not a lot there, but here's the thing. I kind of agree with Cody in the fact that I don't think Sutton has ever been a true number one. I don't think he's ever been just that absolute wide receiver alpha that we thought he would be after his rookie season. I don't put him in the conversation of a CD Lamb, and I don't like CD Lamb. I'm very hard on CD Lamb, but like I'm not there, and I've never been there, Tom. So I guess it's hard for me to understand why. Why do you just have to have Cortland Sutton? The Broncos just had to have him, right? And then he just still keeps plugging along here in Denver, doesn't really win anything, doesn't really contribute all that much, but we just have to have him, because if we don't have him, then we're waving the white flag. Well, you can't go on like that year after year, or the league passes you by, and we're seeing it in real time.
Yeah, and yet you can't forget that Jerry Jeudy was supposed to be that number one guy, and he never panned out. So it's not just that Sutton, it's always Sutton's problem. They've missed a lot wide receivers. So Sutton is kind of like your only guy. He's the best receiver out there. That makes him the number one, but you need somebody that, like I said, that'll put some fear into the defensive coordinator's hearts. He doesn't do that.
Lawrence is suggesting that we try to trade Cortland Sutton for a draft pick to go get Travis Hunter. And that ship sailed when the Broncos hit 5 wins for me. Right? Yeah. Like, well, I would love it. Do not get me wrong. I would love to have Travis Hunter, but there are going to be teams scratching and clawing to get what, the number one overall pick. I mean, can we pretty much say that there's going to be some competition? You bet. And there is every year. And I get it. He's not a quarterback, so teams reach every year, but I don't think the Broncos are going to be in striking distance to get a Travis Hunter. Would I love it? Yes. Even Chad wrote up an article last month, you know, Travis Hunter saying he wanted to stay here in Colorado and play for the Broncos. Well, it's not up to you, Trev, just like it's not up to Shador or anybody else. Eric Flynn giving us some support and some love over on Facebook. Guys, we really appreciate your support, whether it be on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitch. A little bit truly goes a long way.
Yeah, and I would like to touch on that a little bit, trying to trade up. You look at this, there, it's a night and day difference between the bottom teams and the teams that are kind of vying for the playoffs right now. I mean, you look at how many teams, like 2 wins, 3 wins that are – there's like – if you wanted to trade up, you're going to have to jump. If you have 8 wins, 9 wins, you're going to have to trade up like several positions in order to even get close to someone like Henry, which is going to take a lot of capital, a lot. It would be very tough. It's not one of those years where there's a couple terrible teams and then there's a bunch in the middle. I mean, there's a bunch of bad teams and some okay teams and then good teams. I mean, like, there's a big gap between that. So I think even if the Broncos don't make the playoffs, they're still out of reach by quite a ways.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. It's just, and they don't have the capital. And as much as we like Cortland Sutton, I'm sorry, guys, he doesn't move the needle for other teams. Otherwise, he'd be there already, right? I mean, we just absolutely have to have Cortland Sutton and then whatever. And, you know, and it kind of makes me wonder when you look at the Chiefs and what the Chiefs did trading for DeAndre Hopkins, who went off last week, and that's going to happen with a Pat Mahomes. I think that's more indicative of what Pat Mahomes can do with a aging wide receiver rather than an aging wide receiver having like a career renaissance, if you will. That doesn't happen a lot, but you saw it a lot with like Emmanuel Sanders, right? Why couldn't DeAndre Hopkins have that? I mean, Jimmy G hits that throw in the Super Bowl, 49ers v Chiefs. Emmanuel Sanders, they're champs out there in San Francisco, right? So you can see these receivers make a little bit of a resurgence, but it did make me wonder, Tom. I'm like, huh, I wonder if Cortland Sutton wasn't in the AFC West if they'd call, they being the Chiefs, you know, trying to see what they could get, something for cheap. Now, obviously, that wouldn't happen because Sean Payton knows better. You don't just trade away a player that's been with you forever and ever just so they can burn you with Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. But, Tom, I have some regret. All right, I'm going to tell you what I regret. I regret saying that it was time for the Broncos to move on from Tim Patrick. All right. I regret that because I wish Tim was here. We picked the wrong guy. All right. We picked the wrong guy. And I know you can get over on Pro Football Reference. You can pull up Tim Patrick's stats. And I know they're not what Cortland Sutton has. What, just 12 catches for almost 200 yards, no touchdowns. But I see Tim Patrick playing team football. I see him blocking downfield. I see him part of a winning squad. Maybe that's part of it too, right? The Detroit Lions are one of the hottest teams in football right now. But Tom, I feel like I was wrong about Tim Patrick, man. And I need to eat that crow because I think the Broncos once again picked the wrong guy. They picked the wrong guy when they gave Sutton more money, and they picked the wrong guy when they just had to keep Cortland here instead of Tim.
Well, the problem was his injury history. And you saw a lot of the players that left were early on when they were moving them before the season. They were people that got injured a lot. It seemed like to me there was people that had injury history. They were like, we're not going to take another chance. Now he's healthy and he's playing okay. You know, he's doing, like you said, he's playing team football. But I think that was part of it where they looked at it and said, look, we're just not going to take a chance for someone that's not in our future for, you know, 2-3 years down the road. So I get it. But I still don't think he's going to make the difference. This team's not, with Timmy Patrick, it's not going to be that much better in offense than they are with what they have now. That's my opinion. I don't think he's that much of a difference maker. He probably would have been without the injuries because he was on that climb, but I think I'm not sure.
And you're exactly right. And you, Scott, and I have said it forever and ever. I mean, Tim Patrick, the reason he was undrafted is because he was always beat up in college, right? I mean, like, that's kind of been his rap, and the clock is ticking. And Dylan, our very own, one half of OBB on Saturday night's weighing in, could have had Timmy Patz and a third round pick, but the Broncos decided to keep Sutton. And I don't mean to go off on Cortland Sutton. I was sitting here and I'm thinking, man, if I was watching this pod right now and I'm Cortland Sutton, I'd be like, what a couple of jerks, especially that guy in the black hoodie. What the hell does he know? But here's the thing. Cortland Sutton is too nice of a guy, I think. I think he's a gentleman. I don't think he's got that dog necessarily in him. I don't think he's an absolute killer. And that's what drives me absolutely nuts. And if I'm going to be honest, just the same with Demaryius Thomas, God rest his soul. He had Peyton Manning, one of the best ever, throwing him the ball. But I never got the sense that Cortland wanted to command a game. Right. Like, I never got the sense that Cortland's sitting there like, Bo, I need you to force feed me. I need you to force feed me. Cause I think Cortland is a team guy, but sometimes you need a me guy, and you need a guy that's saying, I'm willing to take over this game, put this on my back. I got you. And that's exactly what I saw with DeAndre Hopkins. And it made me extremely nervous, Tom, watching what he's wearing number 8 now for the Kansas City Chiefs. DeAndre Hopkins out there, when they already have a Travis Kelce, they have Noah Gray, who I like a lot, scouted him a few years ago, same draft as Jonathan Cooper and all those cats, I believe. But I don't know, man. It just makes me nervous because I see other quarterbacks and what they're doing, and I see Bo trying to do his best. I just wish Sean would put Bo in this offense in a little bit better of a position. I don't know how he does that this week against the Chiefs.
So you're saying Sutton should be writing a book about throw me the damn ball, right?
Yeah, like then, I need him to start a podcast. I need him to become a diva. Yeah, like I need the diva wide receiver almost. I'm begging for that because right now it's like we've got a bunch of young guys that nobody's really heard of, and then you've got Cortland Sutton, who's a gentleman and a leader. And while a gentleman and a leader is nice, I'm looking for that dog that's willing to go in there and throw some fists if they need to, like Tim Patrick did against the Raiders. Or, you know what I mean? Like, is it so much to want a dog as a playmaker here on this Broncos offense? Because Sean Payton got us all last winter when he's like, I'm going to use Greg Dulcich as the Joker. Well, the joke's on us, right? And nobody's laughing because the Broncos just don't have playmakers, Tom. And I'm upset. I can complain about the running backs, which I already did with 4 fumbles between Estime and Javonte Williams, Jaleel McLaughlin. We still run him like he's Derrick Henry between the tackles. I don't understand it. And then the tight ends, Sean Payton refuses to use too. I mean, Adam Trautman is one of your leading guys right now. And I said he would be, not because I'm some sort of genius or mystical forecaster, but because he's the most consistent tight end and former Saint that the Broncos have.
Well, I'll just say this. There's nobody in the wide receiver group right now, in my perspective, that is so good that they can actually command the ball. I mean, Cortland Sutton is not getting the separation all the time that he should. He's not getting open. He is getting the ball and they're playing okay. And he's had a couple good games, but he's not consistently a great receiver. So I think it would come off weird if he's like, you need to feed me the ball, even though I haven't been able to really do that much. But I tell you, if you keep throwing it to me, I'm gonna. So it's like one of those things where I just don't think there's enough, talent for someone to be doing that. Now, in a couple of years, will one of these people step up? Maybe. But, yeah, the problem with Cortland Sutton is he just is not the same since his knee injury. He hasn't been. And it's one of those things. But he's a valuable player. He's just not the guy that's going to do that. He's just not the guy. He's not the number one guy. He's not the command respect guy. He's a good receiver, not a great receiver. And that's the problem. As we keep saying, there's just nobody on the team that can get them over the hump right now.
No, and it's hard to win games with a rising rookie quarterback. Arguably, I'm going to say arguably, I'm going to piss a lot of people off. Arguably the best rookie quarterback today. All right. Bo Nix is in that conversation. What? It's the three. It's Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and Bo Nix, right? Because they're the three rookies that are playing. So he's arguably one of the best right now. And you could make the argument, I could make the argument that he is. It's just when you put a rising rookie with a bunch of subpar or slightly one above average wide receivers, tight ends that you don't utilize, and an offensive line that has 2 starters out almost every week, it's a hodgepodge of results. Now, it doesn't mean that the Broncos can't win games. And Hell, maybe we're both eating crow next week, Tom. How about that? What I'm talking about Courtland Sutton. I'm going off on him, right? Well, he has had back-to-back performances that have been decent. Now, 1-1 in the last 2 weeks. But what if Courtland Sutton has a dominant game? Does that change our opinion? Does that change the forecast of Bo Nix? Do we finally have our aha moment? Is that what we're looking for? Are we looking for an aha moment? Because you know where I thought it started with Bo Nix and Courtland Sutton? Was in the loss to the Chargers at home here in Denver. When Courtland Sutton had that amazing, what was it, a one-handed catch in the end zone that he barely got his foot down? I'm thinking, there it is. That's going to be the start of some momentum between Bo Nix and Courtland Sutton. It just hasn't been sustainable, and that's one of the most disappointing parts.
Well, and again, Bo Nix is a rookie. He's going to have those off games, different games. He's, you know, he is improving, which is awesome, but you know, it seems like people are expecting that this offense is going to somehow take off.
Yeah.
With a rookie quarterback. Even if they had great weapons, he's still a rookie quarterback learning. You know, there's very few rookie quarterbacks have been amazing in the league in their first year. So that's part of it. And that could be why we're down on Sutton too, is maybe the connection isn't there because he's a rookie and he's just still trying to figure it out. Although I do believe a lot of it's on Courtland Sutton.
Well, and you know what? Maybe a lot of it needs to go to Sean Payton. If we're being completely honest, I've asked you for weeks now, Tom, why is he overcomplicating this offense? And I don't get the calls, nor would I be able to understand one, even if I did, I think, right? But like, you could tell, at least I have this anxiety, and maybe Russell Wilson caused it, where I'm terrified that the play clock is going to expire. We're going to, you know, get a 5-yard penalty, and then we're going to get another 5-yard. So, like, I'm constantly wondering, like, Sean, spit it out. Just get it out to Bo. It doesn't need to be this crazy thing. But Sean Payton, you need to know how to scheme Courtland Sutton open. Come on now. Eric Flynn over on Facebook. Thank you for being patient with us, Eric. We really appreciate your support. Eric is sounding off, saying he thinks that the team was looking past the Ravens. It seems like a Sean Payton thing, too. Got to give him more time focusing on the Chiefs. Go 2-1, toughest part of the schedule. 2 weeks of preparing for the Chiefs is better than 1 week for preparing for both the Ravens or the Chiefs. Yeah, that's a tough one for Kansas City, in the fact that we want to talk about some pros for Denver. Kansas City's coming off a short week. Overtime win, 30-24 in Kansas City in a rain game on Monday Night Football. And Pat Mahomes is banged up. Tom, we're talking about the Broncos injury report. Well, Pat Mahomes still practiced today. He's dealing with an ankle issue. And if we know anything about Pat Mahomes, these injuries really don't matter that much to him. He's unless that arm is hurt, right? Or that weird twisted knee thing that happened in Denver a few years back. It's a short week. The Broncos have had a little bit more time to prepare. How much of an advantage is that for a Broncos team that's going on the road, GEHA Stadium, a place they haven't won since 2015?
Well, anything helps, I guess I could say.
Damn, that helps. Doesn't sound too good. I mean, I like a little bit of the odds. I like some of the
optimism. I don't think it's a huge difference maker. I think going out there like they should have done last week without the mental errors. The problem last week is Baltimore Ravens just a more talented team. They're a better team. I mean, I know the Broncos have been winning more than we expected, I guess, but the Ravens are a Super Bowl contending team, and the Broncos are just not that close yet. So that was a huge difference in talent, for one. But to go in now, to take that loss, refocus, and go into Kansas City and play well, that's huge. But if they go into Kansas City and it doesn't matter how much preparation they have, if they go in and throw another stinker up because the Chiefs are just that much better, then that doesn't mean much.
No. Well, and it's another AFC West game, right? The Broncos are sitting in third place now in the AFC West as the Chargers hold one game above them. So you've got to start to pull yourself back up. And yeah, it's the race to 10 wins if you want to get to the playoffs, right? And I get it. There's some stronger parts of the schedule and weaker parts, but at the end of the day, there's really no such thing as an easy game. Now, I know the Broncos went down to New Orleans and they got theirs, but that's not always going to happen. You can't ever count on that to happen. And I used to think, and I used to write for many years now, that maybe the Broncos would be a trap game for the Kansas City Chiefs. I just don't see Andy Reid rolling his team out like that. You've seen the Chiefs lose games. You've seen Pat Mahomes lose games, but I've never really seen the Chiefs overlook a lot of opponents, especially the Broncos. It feels like for whatever reason, they almost save some plays to try out against the Broncos, right? Or get right against the Broncos. Defensively, what do you make of the Chiefs and Steve Spagnuolo? Because obviously he's improved over the years. It helps when you've got Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce and an offense that can stay on the field. But when you're looking at Bo Nix and Sean Payton, how do you attack the Chiefs defense? Because I do think there are some vulnerabilities there. The big one for me, I'll be writing about in my keys to victory, Chris Jones. You got to make sure you've got an eye on big Chris Jones, man, because that man will ruin your life as a rookie quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, no, yeah, you got to stop him for sure. You know, it's one of those, their defense is playing pretty well, I think. I mean, it's going to be a tough task for Bo Nix to go out there and, you know, keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs offense if the defense can't step up. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're playing pretty well. I think you like everybody, every team has vulnerabilities.
Yep.
Really. I mean, they just do. And so, you know, the Broncos hopefully can exploit some of those, but the Chiefs typically play pretty solid defense against the Broncos. It's usually a closer game, a lower scoring game. And yeah, we'll see. I've actually got a good feeling about it for some reason. I shouldn't, but I just feel like the Broncos are going to step up to the challenge. So I think they're going to get some points, and I think the defense is going to have a bounce back game.
Yeah, the interesting thing, you know, when you go back to the Buccaneers game, at least for me, and I haven't watched Bucs film yet, but I watched some of the game live. Cade Otton was really their only offensive threat, tight ends for the Tampa Bay Bucs, because you've got Evans dealing with an injury, Chris Godwin dealing out with a season-ending injury. So not a lot there on the Tampa Bay offense, but it's a shame that the Broncos haven't utilized the tight end position. Maybe this is the tight end coming out party that we've all been waiting for. And I know we celebrated National Tight Ends Day with, what, 2-3 touchdowns with different tight ends here in Denver a couple weeks ago. But the Broncos have really kind of went away from that. And I don't understand. This is the time. I mean, a tight end should be that check down. A rookie should live with and love to play with. Middle of the field will be open against Steve Spagnuolo's defense. He's going to try to make Bo Nix beat him on the perimeter. That's where he's going to try to have a single high safety looking to just pick that ball right out of the air if he can. Look for potential doubles if you need in red zone scenarios for Cortland. But again, he doesn't command that double team all the time. So I think Steve Spagnuolo is just going to say, go get it. George Karlaftis, put your ears back. Go get him. It's a nasty, nasty game. And I think, what do I mean by that? I think that the O-line and the D-line for Kansas City are very good. I think that they have technically sound features. I think that they're disciplined. Creed Humphrey is one of my favorite players to watch. And I hate saying that because he's a Kansas City Chief. And I'm so damn jealous that they have their center for the next 100 years. But we're talking about the center position earlier in the show. Do you go with a Luke Wattenberg who's coming off of IR and was limited at practice today? No. You know why? Because Chris Jones is going to be in the middle of that defense. He rotates all over. I don't want some guy that's cold dealing with an ankle injury coming in. I'd rather have Alex Forsythe up there. So much is made of Travis Kelce and Pat Mahomes, and with good reason, and now DeAndre Hopkins. But the Broncos are going to have to contend with a very talented and tough defense. And I never liked Steve Spagnuolo, really, Tom. But over the years, I've learned to respect him. Why? Because I've seen his defense grow. I've seen some of his philosophy shift. And if Sean Payton can't come in here with a basic and principled game plan, the Broncos are going to lose. The Broncos will not win games with a rookie quarterback trying to be the smartest play caller in the room. That doesn't happen. It doesn't make sense. You might get away with it 1 week, maybe even two, but you're not going to get away with it against the undefeated reigning champs looking to three-peat.
Yeah, it's exactly what I said about the Ravens game. If they go in with a bunch of mental errors and don't do their job at all, they're going to get smoked, and they did. And the same thing will happen in Kansas City. If they go out there without their head on their shoulders and doing their job the way it should be done, they're going to get smoked. It's all they're all there to do it.
Just the word, and that's Kansas City does that there, right? They do barbecue, and they're going to smoke up some Bronco meat, and they've been doing so for almost 10 years out there. Again, 2015, Peyton Manning. the last time the Broncos have won in Kansas City, and it was cool to snap the streak last year. It's also pathetic thinking back on how we celebrated it, right? We in Broncos country snapping a 16-game skid. But we'll take it. Cody Dubs circling back around. Once Troy Franklin and Bo Nix get in sync, it could be something to fear. Franklin can take the top off. He has been overthrown several times for touchdowns. Yeah, those overthrows, Cody, that absolutely kills us with Bo, right? And he's making those mistakes too, but when you touch the ball every single time, you are looking for those improvements. I have seen some improvements with Troy Franklin in his route running ability. He needs to clean up some of the knowledge in the route tree. I think he gets a little loose and lackadaisical at times. But yeah, Troy Franklin's here for a reason. Just like I know Alex Forsyth was here technically before Bo. But I lean on some of the starting quarterback's preferences, and you know he wants his college roommate on the field.
Yeah, and Franklin, when he was drafted, they knew he had some game to work on. He wasn't coming in as like a polished receiver. So you're seeing a guy going through growing pains, just like a rookie quarterback does, but he's at the wide receiver position. And hopefully, as he learns and gets better, you're right. Maybe next year he'll be he'll be a much better player, but you've got to take those in a team that's young. You've got to take those growing pains and those mistakes. It just happens.
It's painful and it stings. And sometimes you have to lean into it. And speaking of leaning into it, Michael's leaning into it always with us here on MHI over on Facebook. Great show tonight, Luke and Tom on MHI. Go Bo Broncos. Jonathan Cooper got extended, got paid. I'm happy about that, Tom. What was your reaction?
I couldn't believe that the deal that he got. I was shocked. That was a team-friendly deal. I would take that every day. I thought that he was going to go out into free agency and get 18 to 20 mil, and he might be under too rich for the Broncos' blood. But people overpay for edge rushers. They do, and teams have the money to do it. So they were getting him locked up now for that deal. I was shocked. Absolutely shocked.
I was too, especially like after the loss in Baltimore, right? And I think this was smart maneuvering on the Walter Penner ownership with the timing of moving Barron and Sean Payton as well, because then Coop can get a little leverage, right? When you're sending away his draft mate and former teammate with Ohio State, and he's like, oh, I can see the writing on the wall. Maybe I'm up next. You know, that's one less pass rusher I got to compete with. And maybe one more that you have to pay now as a team. So I agree with you. I was really happy. Jonathan Cooper was one of the first players I got to scout along with Quinn Miners and Baron Browning at my first Senior Bowl years ago. So that was pretty fun. It's also pretty indicative. I've said this for years, whenever somebody gets after George Payton, and I've been one of the first to do it, he can always lean on that draft class. Now, how impactful do you expect Jonathan Cooper to be? Because he just got paid. Right. I need you to get at least a sack, but it's time to get after a one-legged Mahomes who should be out there running around. You need that pressure. Do you expect number zero to come up big against the Kansas City Chiefs after just getting paid?
One would hope, especially if they're going to focus on Zach Allen again. He needs to get to the quarterback. I hope so. I still think Nick Benito is a good edge rusher in passing situations for sure. So I think they have the tools between Cooper, Allen, Franklin Myers, and Benito to get to the quarterback. They just didn't do it last week.
I'm terrified at who covers Travis Kelce, because I could see them putting PS2 on. I could see them putting PS2 on DeAndre for a little bit. Maybe it's a team effort, right? I don't want Riley Moss on DeAndre Hopkins. Absolutely not. But maybe you draw those matchups. Historically, again, Pat Surtain has found some success against Travis Kelce. Everybody's so worried about Kelce and his stats. And I know we live in a fantasy driven league, but he's just warming up at the right time, right? I mean, you don't need that guy to get hot till December. He can chill the rest of the fall and you guys will be okay. But it's going to be interesting, man. I'm really curious, Tom, to hear your optimism this week against the Chiefs, because I was starting to feel pretty down after the Ravens game, and I'm thinking, oh no, it's Chiefs week. Are the Broncos going to be the team that gives them their first loss of the season? Man, that would be a true changing of the times here in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the Broncos are a Jekyll and Hyde kind of team. They win ones that they shouldn't, and then they drop a game that they should win. It just feels to me like they're going to bring out the game that they actually surprise people this time around. When they, you know, right after an embarrassment, they're going to win one that nobody expects.
We will save our predictions for the Mile High Roundtable, which is published every Friday at milehighhuddle.com. You can also get my keys to a Chiefs victory on Friday. I've got an article up right now. Chiefs cornerback Trent McDuffie has officially sounded off on what he thinks of Broncos rookie quarterback Bo Nix. You can read about that over at milehighhuddle.com. And away we go, man. Week 10. This season and this year is absolutely flying by. Anything can happen in this crazy NFL. Who's on tap tomorrow? You got Bengals, Ravens. What do you think of that one on the way out, Tom?
Well, I hope the Ravens beat them. I mean, you want to keep the Bengals with as few wins as possible, because it's the Bengals and Colts are really the competition for that seventh seed.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You're in the playoff race now. The AFC is going to start to tighten up. Let's hope the Broncos can get into the race by dethroning Kansas City. And Cody W. on the way out. Look for Myers to get a good hit on Mahomes. John Franklin Myers has also been a very good player. Had a rough game. You're right, Cody, against the Baltimore Ravens, but who didn't? If you are the Denver Broncos. Guys, we really appreciate everybody for tuning in. Great conversation as always. Make sure you hit and share the pod on all platforms. Subscribe if you have not done so already. Guys, don't forget Orange and Blue View every Saturday night at 6 p.m. Mountain with DVA and Ron White. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com. Dylan's got power rankings articles up. Check and see where your Denver Broncos fall. Oh, Tom, it's Chiefs week, and now I'm nervous because I was feeling pretty down, like I said earlier. Now you're telling me you've got some weird feeling about it. Maybe Thursday night, I'll check in with you before I give my official prediction. Okay. But another fun show, man. Really had a blast. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great. I missed you last week, man.
Many thanks to Lance Anderson, right? One third of Dove Valley Deep Divers? Because I know Kenneth Booker's been on there with Eric Trickle as well. Many, many thanks. Guys, take care of yourselves. It's flu season. Everybody's getting sick this time of year. Subscribe, like, and share. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com. Get at us at the mothership at Mile High Huddle. Reach out to Tom at Thomas Hall NFL over on X. Yours truly at Luke Patterson LP. Don't forget Scott at Scout Kennedy. Broncos country into Kansas City. This is the way.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, oh.